tonight's show is on the topic, or on the book review of Revolutionary Psychology, which is a book written by Samael Anvior, who was the founder of the modern Gnostic movement, who we talk about often. But if you're a first-time listener, then you probably would need that introduction. So anyways, he wrote a lot of different books, and this one is a great starter book for wanting to go deeper into what is known as the Gnostic work, or the work we do on ourself. And so up to chapters 8 and 9 of this book, and these chapters are called The Erroneous States and Personal Events. So just wanting to do a review of the chapters we had in last month's show. Actually, it was a couple of months ago, because they all are linked to one another, all very similar topics, that work that we want to inspire to do on ourselves. And it's not an easy work, as I was reflecting on these chapters and trying to relate it to my own experience of the inner work. I come to reflect that they're not easy things that we talk about, or that that Samael talks about in the books. But nevertheless, they're really helpful, super helpful for our life, to change our life, to make our life better, and to not live such a mechanical, mundane experience, to get something more from our lives, no matter what our situation, no matter what our culture or upbringing. We have the keys to be able to make a difference in our life. So in the chapters before, there's a strong emphasis that our life is not just our external events. So the events that we are exposed to when we look back over our life and we see the things that happen, our life isn't just those events. And the events of life also are not what make us happy. So when we say, when we think, I'll be happy when I get a better job, or I'll be happy when I get a better house, or buy a house, or renovate a house, or anything along those lines, that we think that when we reach a certain goal, that we will then be happy. And so if we're always projecting our happiness into the future, we are missing what is happening in that moment. And then when that event does actually come, we find that maybe we're happy for a short time, and then we go back to how we were, because we hold and keep our psychology, our psychological reality within us, and it's not our external events that necessarily change that. So it's this external state that we want to really look at. We want to move our focus from the external events in our life to our inner state before those events. And if we can manage to shift that focus, then it doesn't matter what happens to us externally, as long as we can identify our inner state at that time, then we have a chance to transform our circumstances. And so just with that prelude leads to the chapters of discussion for tonight. So the first chapter, called Erroneous States, or another simpler way of saying that is incorrect states. So it's starting to go into the fact that we acknowledge we have an inner reality, and now we need to realize that we have incorrect states, and this is what causes us pain and difficulties in our life, what causes us karma. And so we want to start to look at our own ways of being, how we react to the various circumstances in life. So we can very easily be miserable in a happy environment, like a party or a wedding, but we can also be happy in a supposedly sad environment. So that's where our inner state is going to weigh more, or have more of an impact on our reality than the actual external events, because it's how we are feeling and thinking in that moment that gives the flavour of the event that we are in. So if we're at work and we're happy to be at work, then our work is going to be pleasant. But if we have a negative internal state in regards to our work, then it's going to be unpleasant, and that has ramifications on others and other people around us. So what really is at the core of our internal states is this ego. We become hypnotized constantly by our ego. And so when this happens, we can't see outside of it. And this is the incorrect state, is that we are hypnotized by an ego and we don't see the reality of events and things as they are. We just see it through our own perspective. The ego affects our ways of thinking, of feeling, and therefore how we act. And so if we're thinking very negatively and feeling very negatively, we're probably going to behave in a negative type of way. So there's that common knowing or teaching that when people are suffering, they are often causing other people to suffer. And I'm sure they're not doing it consciously, but it's just a reflection of what's going on in their inner state that's manifesting outside. We need to become aware of this process that is going on within us. We need to become aware of the ego. We talk about this a lot on the show, but it can never be mentioned or reminded enough, because the level of hypnosis, that self-hypnosis, may I add, that we have is just phenomenal. And so the more we can talk about it and look at it and observe it in ourselves, it's going to be really beneficial for us. And it's suggested that if we don't learn to work on ourselves, we become like logs on the ocean of life. So we just travel with the currents that the ocean takes us, and not to have that control, to not be in our own boat with oars or sails, so that we can guide and navigate through the water or the currents of life. We just go with the flow, which, you know, often has positive connotations, doesn't go with the flow to be relaxed. But if we're going in a flow that is damaging, painful, we're not happy, then obviously that's not serving us. And so we want to look to see how we can actually take more control for our own happiness and for our own life. So we don't regret our existence and look back and think, oh, you know, I should have done something that I didn't do. Can only make more choices when we become aware of what's going on within. So the process of self-observation becomes essential to living a happy and conscious life. And we talked about self-observation last week when we went through the Ajna chakra. And in the Ajna chakra, or the third eye chakra, we have the capacity to develop our imagination, or otherwise known as clairvoyance, and also our capacity to observe ourselves, because we struggle to see ourselves as what we are in an objective way. We can see ourselves in a very subjective way, but true self-observation is something that is different. It takes training and development to be able to see ourselves objectively. And I just wanted to share a reflection I had on this idea of self-observation, and that we need to see ourselves really for what we are. We have to go beyond our memories, beyond our self-image, self-concepts, what we think we are, or even what we want to be. Sometimes we want to be something so much that we don't see what we are at our current stage, our current moment. So we're missing that opportunity to observe our internal state, what we are. And it's important to know. We have to know where we are, where we're starting from, to be able to raise ourselves, raise our level of being, as is said in the teachings, and to prove and go on that vertical path. So it's said that many unpleasant situations in life arise from wrong internal states. So basically what it's saying is we make our lives a lot more difficult because of the interior states that we have. And I've observed this directly myself. I've given this example before, but not recently, so I'll do it again. I observed once how anger wanted to create, it wanted to get angry at something that it didn't need to. And I was able to catch the anger before it expressed, and then to see the damage it would have caused if it was able to be expressed. And it was for a matter that wasn't worth the trouble, wasn't worth getting angry for and causing trouble about. So this is how we become identified, hypnotized. And anger is a good example because it kind of just overtakes us and makes us think that its logic, its way of being is correct in that moment. But then it causes a lot of damage and we don't even realize it half the time. So it's very destructive for ourselves and for other people. And so we want to start observing these things, but we're not going to observe how damaging it is unless we catch it before it expresses. And to have that contrast. And I believe when we do have that contrast, that we'll be really surprised at the things that we can avoid in life just by comprehending and separating, not identifying with the ego. But anyway, that's for each of us to be able to experience and come to that realization ourselves. And it's a very, very powerful one, and it inspires us to continue to want to know more about the ego. It's a very fascinating study, and something that not to be judging ourselves negatively for, because the ego exists and there's certain reasons that it's there, which we don't really go into much depth in this radio show, like the origin of the ego. But, you know, looking outside of or judging it as good or bad, it's just a very interesting study of our own psychology. So hopefully you're inspired to do more self-observation and to work on what we know as the ego. All right, we'll just take a short music break and then we'll be back to continue on this topic. And you're back on the Gnostic Waves. That was a track, Harpsichord Concerto Adagio, composed by J.S. Bach. Now I'm talking on the topic of revolutionary psychology and reviewing the book of that title, which I left saying that we can avoid, unpleasant situations avoid by a wrong or incorrect internal state. So how we are thinking and feeling creates a lot of unpleasant situations. However, we learn through these teachings that these destructive, unpleasant situations can become inoffensive by correcting our internal state. It's said that when one purifies oneself internally, we can change the nature of unpleasant events. So again, emphasizing that need to move our attention from the event, the external circumstance, so not worrying so much about the people involved, the place, what said people are doing, but looking at our own reaction, because it's going to be able to have more relevance, more things we need to know to be able to change ourselves. So if we don't change and we just tolerate circumstances, we can think that we're really strong because we tolerate it, but still we can become victims of those circumstances. So tolerating is one thing, but changing our own reaction is another thing. And they can be very similar, because we need the strength to be able to endure the difficult circumstances and to be able to see ourselves as we really are. and that is no easy feat. It's suggested that if we want to change, that we need to establish an order within our internal house, and that comes with time. When we look within, we understand ourselves better. We see the disorder, then we can start to create that order. And I know we become disordered in life when our attention goes from here, there, and everywhere. It shows that we lack order. So if we're going to do a task and we end up doing something different, then our attention has been distracted. So slowly, slowly in this work, we work to bring order into our mind, into our reality, our inner reality. So these events are never as important as the way that one reacts when facing them. So our reactions have more value to us than the external events themselves. In the book, it says that hospitals, cemeteries, and prisons are filled with sincerely mistaken ones who reacted incorrectly when faced with certain external events. And I'd like to add, often from my experiences, people tend to get into more trouble when there's with alcohol fueled or there's drugs involved, and that makes the ego stronger and we feel more invincible and able and confident to express ourselves and express the ego. And then all these crimes that happen, so the people that end up in prisons and hospitals or even death at the very extreme example, happen because, you know, we couldn't control or comprehend our internal state and stop it from impacting someone else, and therefore we've had to be restrained in some way or hurt someone else. And so this is what happens if we are able to look at ourselves and control these emotions or these passions that arise. And of course, it doesn't help if we've taken substances to enhance these passions, these emotions within us. In the book, it says that the best weapon a human being can use in life is a correct psychological state. And I really like this saying. It's one of my favourites of Samael and his teachings, because it gives us that power back. But it's not a power or a weapon that is against anyone. It's a weapon, a teaching that we use for ourselves to help ourselves. And the effects of it is speak for themselves. The results don't happen overnight, but that they do show themselves, and that encourages us to keep going. He says in the book, we must learn to face the most unpleasant of practical life with an appropriate internal uprightness. Really not to fear life, the events of life. In that way, we can face anything, and we can really confront the logic of fear if we have these teachings, because no matter what happens, any difficulties or resistance that occurs, we're well equipped to be able to deal with them. Whilst first we may get the sting of a difficult circumstance, event, we find our reaction is unpleasant, we don't shy away from that, and we look to go deeper to understand what it really is that is there. Like, say, for example, when you want to confront fear, you find that behind fear is our pride. We want to conserve a certain image of ourselves, and therefore we fear events like, you know, public speaking or something, because we want to conserve that image. But if we don't identify with that self-image we have, or we don't really care for it, then that fear has no hold on us. It won't block us from things that we want to do. So in this way, we can confront these internal states and go deeper and deeper until we find out what actually its logic is, and just to override it or to disarm the state. And so it's a weapon that we need to learn to develop and to use in our day-to-day life in a practical type of way. Work is a great example. There's always difficult people and difficult circumstances, especially when you have to work as a team, which in one way or another we all work in a team, whether we're conscious of it or not. Each of our roles impacts other people's roles. Some jobs are not so obviously team orientated. There can be very autonomous roles, but in the big picture, our work does impact on someone else's work as well. So, working in a team can be very challenging in life. And so to have these tools to be able to navigate and to learn from these circumstances is great food that we can use for understanding ourselves and hence understanding other people. In the book it says, remember that everything passes away. We must learn to look at life like a movie. So as again saying about that, the self-observation, observing our life much like a movie, and in that way we don't become so identified and we can view our life more practically in the hope of awakening consciousness and to correct these internal states that we have. It says if we don't eliminate mistaken internal states, the events of no value bring us disgrace. So this is a really big point, is that events that are quite meaningless become bigger than they should be and cause us disgrace when really they needn't have. And we're not really going to be able to see that unless we're working to observe and to be conscious of our reactions and how they affect our interactions and the events of our life. But yeah, as I mentioned before, it's amazing to have that realization, to stop ourselves and to see the damage that would have caused and that it would have been unnecessary and energy draining, taking energy that we could use for a better purpose. So every external event needs its precise psychological state, and we work to match our event to our internal state. So using that example again of work, if we're not happy to be at work, working to that incorrect state, logically confronting ourselves and saying, well, we need to be at work because we have certain bills to pay and certain things that we want to do. So if we can focus on why we're there and transform that resistance that we have to work, then we'll be more pleasant. When we're more pleasant, who knows what opportunities will present themselves to us. You know, when we work just for work's sake, not necessarily to get anything from anyone, just to do a really good job, people notice that. Our bosses notice that. And slowly other opportunities arise that open up before us. So slowly our circumstances change and new doors open to us. But we're not going to be able to see those doors, or they won't open if we're still always doing the same things, and our inner state, our inner reality, our way of thinking and our feeling is the same as it always is, and it just keeps getting more negative in our life, then it's not going to help us or anyone else. Okay, well, that's all I really wanted to say about these chapters. I think that not much more needs to be said. It's something that is an invitation to be out to each one of you listeners, and also even to myself as a reminder, because it's always good to hear these things again, to always be constantly observing ourselves and how our inner reactions affect our circumstances, how they attract circumstances in our life when we look to see this at a deeper level. And yeah, really the opportunities where we can change ourselves and ideally to awaken consciousness. But these are the small steps that we take, and hopefully if there's any gem of inspiration that you've heard in these teachings, and hopefully that you'll be able to work with them. So now we'll go to our second music break, and then we'll be back to enter into a meditation practice. This is another track composed by Bach, the piano concerto in E major. You're back on the Gnostic Waves. Okay, so now we're going to get ready to do a meditation practice. As usual, we find ourselves a position that we can be still for the next 20 minutes. If possible, trying to keep our spine as straight as possible without causing any major discomfort. And then focusing on the process of breathing. Taking big, deep, long breaths. And feeling that with each exhalation we're blowing away any tensions, any discomforts, anything that is causing us stress, fear, anything that is distracting us. As we slow down the body, we work to very naturally slow down the process of thinking. We're not aiming to stop that process. We just want to slow it down. Be so identified and hypnotized with our thoughts. If there is a particular thought that we keep that keeps distracting us, with each breath, imagining that oxygen, that prana, moving or blowing that persistent thought away. If you're like me and you keep thinking about work, again, work to focus on the inner work, which is to relax the body, relax the mind. And just being present and enjoying this moment. Seeing the value in just being. The mind thinks that being is like doing nothing, useless. Sometimes we have to talk to our mind and say, no, this is not the case. It's okay to relax. It's okay to do nothing. And the world will continue to rotate. Things will continue to happen. Imagining that breath of oxygen going through the mind. Clearing away any tensions. Allowing us the capacity to do this practice and concentrate on the things that we need to. As a start, we're going to work with the chakra in the third eye as a follow-on from last week's practice. We're gently focusing our attention there in the third eye, the area between the eyebrows. Let's use the mantra Om for the third eye 3 times. Om. Om. Relaxing again, keeping our attention in the area of the third eye. So working with this chakra in the third eye, we're going to do a retrospective practice over our day. Seeing our day like we're seeing a movie. Like we're watching ourselves. Our aim for this practice is to firstly, to remember or recollect the day we've had, but also to find an ego, to find an internal state that we suspect is an ego state, an egotistical state, and to learn more about it, to observe it. Working with the faculty of the self-observation as best we can. So we go back over our day from when we first wake up. Do we remember how we felt when we woke up? Thank you. if at any point in our retrospection we find something to observe, we can just focus on that. We can focus on the event, on the environment, people, if we can we observe our own inner state before this event, during this event, and after? Can we recall our thoughts? Was our thinking of a negative nature? Was there judgment, criticism? Were assumptions made? Do we have incorrect concepts about the event, about any particular person, or even ourselves? When this ego comes up again, how can we correct it, or what is it that we can do next time differently? How can we change our reaction? Can we create a more favorable circumstance for us and all other parties? Thank you. perhaps we don't know how we could do it any differently. This is okay. So it brings us to the next step, which is working with our inner divinity to get that help, to get that comprehension. Our inner divine mother. Let's work with the mantra EO to help connect that force within us. EO. Feeling the force of, or the vibration of that mantra introduces a new energy within us. And we ask our divine feminine principle for help, for comprehension in this ego that we're looking at. We ask for help to minimize the level of hypnosis that we keep falling into time and time again. Asking for help to do some damage control. Our Divine Mother is always there to help us. We just need to ask, to work with the mantras, to concentrate on that principle. It's hard for the mind to ask and get help from something it doesn't know or understand. Yet, if we do take the time, the trouble to work with this force, we do get help. Even if the mind doesn't understand it, if our skepticism won't accept it, we can go deeper in the comprehension and eventually to the elimination of the ego, which is our ultimate aim, to free the essence within ourselves.